For those of you who do have the scriptures, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, about an unnamed woman. Mark 5, 25 to 34. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I want us to look briefly at this little woman, at her past, at her present, and at her future. We're told in verse 24 that much people followed him. And then, in the midst of the crowd, there stands a woman. A certain woman, the scriptures tell us. Now, there were many women in that crowd, as we all know, women and babies, just trailed after the Lord. Why does she stand out? Well, let's take a look at what the Holy Spirit of God has recorded for us in relation to her. First of all, we're told that she had a disease, an issue of blood, or hemorrhaging if you want a modern term. She was slowly bleeding to death. We're told that she suffered. She had discomfort. We find that she spent all her money on advice. So we find that she experienced poverty. We find too that she was out of hope because she was no better. In fact, every day she got worse. She experienced continual ill health. And I can't help feeling that her life gives us a picture today of despair. It gives us a picture of suffering, poverty, sickness, loneliness. You know, she had explored every avenue available to her in her day and in her generation, and she had no help. The physicians to whom she went to tried to help, but they had laid down the ultimatum: there's nothing more we can do. We have come to the end of our knowledge with your condition. There is no hope. They tried and she tried, but the scriptures tell us she was nothing bettered. And I wonder if this little lady's life doesn't represent a picture of some of us here. You know, today, so many women are searching for their own identity. Isn't this so? What am I here for? What is my role in this society? And everybody's got their own point of view. Now, if we were honest here, I'm sure each of us at some time in our lives would have to confess to a moment of despair, to a moment of not knowing exactly why we were here and where we were going. An inner aching. You know, an honest to God inner aching for peace and contentment. You know, I married, to me, the number one Australian. In fact, this is where I know that I have the antagonism of every other woman in Australia. But I feel sorry for you. You've all got second best. I got the number one. And we're happy. When Roslyn sang at the boys' dedication, "I Believe in Miracles," oh, if I had the tongue and the time to tell you the miracles that God has done, is doing, and we are excited about what He's going to do in our lives. But you know, before I came to Jesus Christ, I'd look at my man, and I knew he loved me because he showed it. Even when he was a non-Christian, he knew how to show his love. And I'd panic. Because I think you're not even touching the innermost part where I'm hurting, where I'm aching, where I'm dissatisfied. Oh, and you know, I'd work off the feeling. Or I'd go out and have a look at the dress shops, or I'd go over to Mum and we'd talk for hours and indulge ourselves about the coming baby. We'd both have had migraines if we'd known there were going to be two. But you know, it helped ease that sort of that inner agitation. But always in the quiet moments, it would return. And I'd have to be honest with myself and with the Lord that things weren't right. But back to our certain woman. In the midst of her day-to-day living or existence, I wouldn't call it living, she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as some of you here today have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reports had reached her, maybe a neighbor, but she'd heard that this Jesus had healed people. She'd heard that he cast out devils, which had driven people to insanity. She'd heard that he'd fed the hungry. And I wonder if perhaps in the long lonely hours of the night as she tossed and turned, that she wondered if he would heal her. In her despair and her desire, she had to admit that hearing wasn't enough. She faced the facts of her life honestly, and she had to admit she couldn't help herself, others couldn't help her, so she came to Jesus. And I like this woman because she's positive. She does something about her need. She heard and she came and she pushes herself a nobody. Nobody would have cared if she was there, and nobody cared that she was there. She just was there. She was a nonentity, a nobody. And she pushes herself into the crowd. And she can just barely hear his voice as he talks with the other mothers and babies in the outer circles. She can't touch him, but she catches a glimpse of him. And she stooped over. Remember, she can't stand tall. And she touches and reaches out and touches him. Just the faint edge of his garment. But it was enough. Now, did you get the sequence of events there? She heard, she came, and she touched. the touch of faith. And you know, the Lord is never too busy, never too crowded in by people to ever ignore the touch of faith. It's not how much faith we've got, it's the direction in which we point that faith that matters. She touched, and immediately, not a couple of hours afterwards as she was sitting down from her exhausting journey back to the house with a cuppa, not the next day, but instantly and immediately she knew she was healed and she stood straight. But that's not all. Did you notice what happens? The Holy Spirit tells us, and immediately Jesus knew that she touched him. And the disciples say, "Oh, come on, Lord. What do you mean, who touched you?" He said, "Somebody touched me." And that touch was different. And the disciples said, "Well, of course someone touched you, Lord. The kids are pulling at you. The mothers are shrieking at you. The disciples are directing you, Lord, as to where you should go next. You're surrounded by activity, Lord. What do you mean, who touched you?" Who touched me? And I could see this little woman, halfway out of the crowd by this stage, hoping nobody saw her, just wanting to enjoy and delight in the fact of being able to stand up straight. And the voice rings in her ears, "Who touched me?" And she turns around. And I can just feel, you know, I just know that feeling where perhaps, you know, her heart was coming up out through her throat. And she said, "Oh Lord, I did. I touched you. And Lord, not only that, but I was healed." You see, she admitted that Jesus had met her need. And she admitted it in front of all those others. And then the Lord Jesus turns to her and gives her the most beautiful name for any woman. He says, "Daughter." From a nobody to a daughter of the King of Kings. Not that she may have known it in the fullness of what that meant at that point, but she goes away with the name Daughter. From that point on, she belonged. From that point on, she knew that someone cared. From that point on, she knew that she was healed inside out. She could stand tall. She could look anyone straight in the eye without a thing to prove. No self-defense necessary. She was Jesus's woman. Complete. When the Lord Jesus touches us, He heals the whole woman. And that's what you and I must do. Is we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledging the fact that we are sinners and that we've come to Him for cleansing and for healing. We're to trust Him when He says, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Then we are to trust Him that He is just that. Because God says, "This is my beloved Son. Behold Him. Hear Him." Daughter, go. Not only go, but go in peace. Be at rest. Settle yourself down and be the woman that God made you to be. Go in full assurance that you are at peace with God and at peace with yourself and at peace with your fellow man. This lady knew that she had had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that she had had that encounter also. There was no secrecy about their meeting. both knew at a point in time on that day they became one forever. Ladies, God loves you. God cares for you. He's concerned for you. God made you a woman. Amongst the animals in the garden, the mating call went out. And there was no helpmate found for Adam. And I like to think that in those days, God was psychologically preparing him for what he was about to give him, us. But it's interesting, isn't it? That in everything that God did at creation, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. Bang, it is not good. What is not good? Adam alone. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took out one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. Unique. He didn't make you a man, girls. He didn't make you a unisex being. He didn't make you anything, but a woman. And oh, I just feel for womanhood today. I am just surrounded by women who are out to prove something. We have nothing to prove when we belong to Jesus. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Handmaids of the Lord. Beautiful Sarah, who called her man Lord. Lovely Rebecca. Praying Hannah. Outspoken Deborah. Strong Jael. And my favorite woman, the beautiful and clever Abigail. Oh, ladies, if you want a book on how to have a happy husband, take a look at Abigail. The seductive Bathsheba, who enticed a king to sin and won a king. The brave Rahab, who most of us wouldn't be seen dead with today. And then there's the gentle Ruth. And the loyal Esther. And then there's Mary, a little virgin girl of the house of David. Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Anna, an older woman, a prophetess, who spent her days in the temple praying and fasting. The lady we've just been discussing, a certain woman, a nobody, who one day met the Lord Jesus Christ and was complete, not only as a woman, but as a human being. And then there was darling Martha, and I can identify with Martha at some times. You know, there was a job to be done, and she was doing it. She was busy. She just got too busy. And the Lord said, don't ever be too busy, Martha, to talk with me. And Lord, says Martha, don't you care? Oh, ladies in the light of Calvary, never say that to Jesus. Don't you care? Don't you know that the Lord knows what you need more than anybody else, more than your man needs? Did you notice what the Lord said to Eve when they fell? He said, your desire will be to your men. He didn't say your satisfaction. Don't ask the impossible of your men. There isn't a man alive who can love a woman like God made her to be loved. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can settle that inner ache. The woman at the well, an outcast from her society. And the Lord takes time out from his busyness. And through her, a village believes. The woman taken in adultery. Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. He said, well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. You know, the Lord Jesus is never too high and mighty, too big, too busy to stop and pick someone up from the gutter and love them into the kingdom. Now notice, he did not condone her sin, but he loved her. Christ's personal encounters with women. The woman with the alabaster box of ointment that anointed him for burial, and her act of worship became a memorial to godly womanhood forever. A woman in the intimacy of the death garden hears and recognizes the voice of her master, even though she can't recognize him physically through her tears. A woman brings him into the world as God's chosen vessel. A woman teaches him through his boyhood years. A woman anoints him for burial. A woman's heart is pierced as she looks upon her son on Calvary, and she relinquishes her mother's hold upon him and acknowledges him as her Savior and her Lord. A woman is the first to do business with the resurrected Lord. A woman is the first missionary. A woman is the first to open her home to the first missionaries, Lydia. Excited little Rhoda, who saw the answer to her prayer standing in front of her and got so excited she shut the door again in his face. A grandmother, Lois. A mother, Eunice. Oh, ladies, I want to leave one message with you as I close this morning. You are unique. Jesus loves you. Jesus has a plan for you. He longs to make you a blessing in this world. And doesn't this world of ours need a blessing? For those of you who do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, may I challenge you, as indeed I do myself, to yield yourself anew and afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ and permit him the sovereign right, and it is his sovereign right, to touch this world through you. You are the key in the home. Ask God to give you a word for your husband and for your sons, and be the channel for him to bring about that word in their lives. We are the key. And never try to do the Holy Spirit's work. I find when I submit to Jesus, that he touches my man, and he touches my sons, and he touches those of my household, and he touches those of my neighborhood. My challenge to you this morning is, give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's put in your hands, keep your hands open. Never abuse your godly womanhood. And for those of you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, search him out. There isn't a person alive on this earth who can touch that inner need of yours.